Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledger, your host from FanRag Sports and NDTScouting.com, along with Trevor Sycamore of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yesterday, Trevor, we talked about free agency winners and really offseason winners, teams that we thought have improved themselves so far in the offseason. Today, we look at things on the opposite end of the spectrum, the losers in the free agency offseason realm. As it stands now, the draft could turn things around. There's still some players to be snapped up in free agency, but we couldn't wait to fire off these hot takes. So we got teams that have disappointed us thus far in free agency. Trevor, who comes to mind when you think of teams that just haven't lived up to your expectations in free agency? Well,
there are a couple teams that I probably have to a lower standard than this, but when you and I were kind of prepping for the show a little bit, one of the teams that you brought up was the Buffalo Bills. And they're kind of like, I felt like the Bills did some hit and miss things. So yeah. I wanted to talk about the Bills first because, you know, they made the playoffs last year, but it really was kind of like a squeak into the playoffs. That was kind of evident by them barely being able to move the ball at all against the Jags. Right. Not really having any kind of like stability. It was just kind of like, hey, they were winning games here and there, but nobody was really impressed, intimidated, or whatever from the Bills. And I mean, like they got a bunch of new players. I mean, they brought in Starlo Tulele, Vonta Davis, AJ McCarron, Trent Murphy. So like all these guys are
some names that you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder how they all gel into like a plan, which right. I guess, you know, like they're bringing guys in, they're trying to juice up the roster here and there. I'm not sure about some of their fit, but I liked the thought process with it. I don't know if I'm totally sold on the execution of it yet. I guess we'll have to see that.
I love the Starlo Tulele move. I thought that was a good move because they needed to get somebody in the inside. They need to fill one of their big holes, I thought. And I thought he definitely did that. So I love that. And they re-signed Kyle Williams. Also love that. Russell Bodine is just bad. I don't know why anyone would sign him to be a starter. His contract suggests he'll be the starter. I don't get that one at all. He's been bad his whole career in Cincinnati. Vonta Davis, I don't know that there's anything left. I'm okay with, I guess, kicking the tires on him and seeing what's left. But do you want to get older? You know, not sure where he helps you. If he's not starting, is this a depth guy for you? You know, is that where you see Vonta Davis coming into play? Because I don't know if he sees himself that way.
And unfortunately for like the Bills, like with Vonta Davis, is you're weighing it against EJ Gaines, who still hasn't been signed anywhere yet. So it's like a back and forth. Like they're automatically going to be compared no matter what. So it was almost like a switch of maybe just Davis was that much cheaper. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know what Gaines is asking for. I guess we'll have to see what he goes for. Trent Murphy, you know, coming off of missing this entire year for Washington, he was productive 2 years ago, but a lot of his sacks didn't really come necessarily in a highly skilled fashion. I have some questions about him, and right now, I mean, I don't know. Jerry Hughes is just so hit or miss for this team. I think Murphy can put his hand down and play, but I don't know that he's anything more than a situational guy. I don't know if you want him on the field every single play. I don't think Marshall Newhouse is a starter. They may not ask him to be, so maybe it ends up being okay. I mean, I think Deion Dawkins and Jordan Mills are their guys probably moving forward, but I just am not sure. You know, some of these signings, I just don't think they ultimately help the team. So they spent some money on some guys that are average to below average to me, which is the big no-no in free agency to me. I don't think you do that. So I didn't hate it. Again, trading Tyrod Taylor for a third, I thought that was really good to come away with a third for him. So they did some other things. They traded away Cordy Glenn and moved up in the first. Would I have liked to see them move higher in the first as part of that? Sure. Like, because if you could package a player that people view as a starting left tackle, you know, would the Browns be interested to jump up to four, and then you have to give up less draft picks in the process. But to have to trade twice is going to be a big task for the Bills. So still an incomplete grade for sure on the Bills offseason, but I didn't think that. I don't know that they did enough, especially putting themselves in position to get a quarterback. You know, if that was, and there's still time, but man, if the Giants want a quarterback and the Jets beat them to the punch.
Yeah, that might have been the toughest blow for them during free agency. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't want to judge them too much because we don't even know. You know, we read that the Jets might have moved up for a running back. You know, who knows? The Bills could still be in play to trade up to number four and get the quarterback that they wanted anyway. Yeah. So. Sure. So there's don't want to judge too much on that, right. But I'm with you kind of like I like some of the moves again, but it's just I thought they did some odd things. So they weren't the worst team, I thought, but I wanted to kind of talk about them first.
And I don't think that there's a lot of teams we're going to just straight up slander in this piece as much as we'd like to. But I think that, like, I don't know, like, I don't get some plans. Like, I don't get what Miami's doing. Like, why Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson to pay what you would have just paid Jarvis Landry to do the same thing? I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. You know, Josh Sitton, that's a I think he's an upgrade for them for sure, but he's aging. He was declining some last year, especially in pass protection. Seems to be moving the wrong direction. I don't hate the signing at all, but again, it's like this team has to get a lot better. You know, and the big thing with Miami is they have to get a lot better, and then they've cut loose most of their best players. So it's like,
did you see Sitton's quote about moving from left guard to right guard?
What did he say?
He said that, because I believe Sitton plays left guard, correct?
Correct, yeah.
He said, because they talked to him about being versatile playing left or right, and he's like, switching from left guard to right guard is like trying to wipe your butt with the other, with the opposite hand.
I did see that, yeah.
I loved it.
Well, I don't even know why they'd switch him. Makes no sense to me.
And then somebody else in the comments, like one of the first comments was like, oh, okay, I get it. So it's possible, but it could get messy. And I was like, Jesus, dude. Oh, my God. We get it. You didn't have to say it. We get it.
They also traded for Daniel Kilgore, who is not very good.
That was odd.
That was super weird. So Kilgore wasn't very good. And then he signed an extension with the Niners. And then the Niners signed Weston Richburg. And then they traded Kilgore, which, like, they did this with Vance McDonald. They signed Vance McDonald to an extension, and then they traded him to Pittsburgh. And that was at least somewhat understandable because there was a regime change in between there. But this one was just weird. Like, why would they sign him to extension? I guess to make him more tradable, maybe. I don't know. But it was super weird. Kilgore's on Miami now. So Kilgore's going to play center. They lost Mike Pouncey. They lost Ndamukong Suh. Who else? Then now they've Jarvis Landry. Now Jay Ajayi. I know I was more okay with the Ajayi move than you were, but I get the culture change thing, man. But like, if Laramie Tunsil and Devontae Parker are the two guys on your team that have the most concerns as it relates to work ethic, and Leonte Carew is still here with some of the stuff that's been surrounding that dude, I am confused. What exactly is the culture change that's happening here? Because I don't know that you're getting rid of the problems. I just am so lost.
It seems like, I don't know if they're getting rid of problems. They're just switching players.
Well, that's what it's been built as, though. It's been built as this, like, we're changing the culture in Miami. Well, what does that mean?
They're wide receivers. Their wide receivers are Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, Danny Amendola, Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant, Leonte Carew, Isaiah Ford.
It's like...
And Rashawn Scott.
It's like the Bears group last year.
Who are you... What is your plan here?
Right. There's like a bunch of dudes that do the same types of things. How do you get on the field all at once? I just am very confused. I mean, it's like
they're
the Bears
run five
situation
wide
last
with
year.
Four of the same receivers.
I'm lost. I don't know what the plan is here for Miami. That's the biggest thing. Like they say, oh, culture change. Oh, we're trying to get, you know, these guys out of the locker room. That what are you talking about? Because
the talented
Pouncey
dudes
was your league. Yeah, like I don't understand. Like
that's what he meant.
Yeah, work with some personalities here, bud. Because if not, your team's gonna suck. So I don't get what they're doing. And Ndamukong Suh is the best player on their team.
No question.
I'm just totally lost. I don't understand what they're doing. So Miami's won. We're slandering the AFC East, but I'm going to keep it rolling. Can you list the Patriots in a loser column? Because I think we've got to do it.
No, I think that's illegal.
It might be, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm breaking the rules. This team had to go out and get talent. I don't know how.
Lost,
you know,
Malcolm Butler. Lost Deion Lewis. Lost Nate Solder.
Lost Danny Amendola, which is fine. Lost Danny Amendola. But you don't have a left tackle. Your right tackle's coming off a season-ending injury, and he wasn't as good as he was the year before the injury happened. Cameron Fleming, I'm pretty sure, is either signing with another team. I know he visited Dallas. I don't know if he signed anywhere else.
They signed Jeremy Hill, though, so they're good.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. They signed Burkhead long-term instead of signing Deion Lewis, which was weird to me. You know, left tackle, like I said, definitely a weakness. Running back, I mean, Hill was signed for the bare minimum, so, I mean, I don't know that they view him as the answer, but running back still definitely a question mark. And then defensively, Adrian Claiborne is, despite the fact that he had 7 sacks in one game, finished the season with like 9, so he's not the answer. He's definitely a situational guy you can use inside. They love to rotate guys, and so I think he makes sense in that way, but they didn't really get an edge pass rusher still. You know, that's still going to be a target for them in the draft. They lost a corner and didn't replace him, so, I mean, they traded for McCourty technically, but I don't know if they're going to view him as the guy. So, yeah, this is a team that they need a corner. They need a pass rusher. They probably need linebacker. They definitely need linebacker help. And they need a left tackle. So there's some big holes to fill for the Patriots. We're just not used to seeing the Patriots get worse in free agency. I think that's the big thing. We're not used to seeing them lose talent and not replace it with better talent. But I think that's what happened this offseason. And I don't think, you know, they're still one of the best teams in the AFC. I'm not trying to go that far. But I think there are big question marks here.
John Ledyard, you heard it right here first. Patriots dynasty, over. Done. It's kaput.
I'm excited for people to dig this club back up when the Patriots are like 16-0.
In a coffin.
Should be fun.
Belichick's going to retire in 2 months.
The Indy Colts, we may be at a crossroads on this one, but what is going on? So the Colts legitimately have holes at almost every position on their roster. I don't know that I've seen anything like it. And I feel like I have a pretty good working knowledge of like the NFL and like talent level and rosters. So like, I mean, when T.Y. Hilton's your best receiver, that's fine. But they just signed Ryan Grant, and he's the only other dude that's probably rosterable among their wide receiver group. Jack Mehort is still a free agent, and he's hurt all the time. I don't even know that he'll be back, but they need a left guard. They need a right guard. They need a right tackle. Tight end, they're okay with. They just signed Eric Ebron to complement Jack Doyle, so they're set there. At least they did that. They need a running back still. Marlon Mack is going to be a contributor in some way. They need a guy to complement him. Defensive line, they just cut Jonathan Hankins. He was one of the best run defenders in the league last year at nose tackle. Either don't sign him to a big money contract, because Hankins is, you know what you're getting with Hankins. And the Colts could not have asked for anything more than what Hankins did last year. Either don't sign him to the money you signed him to, they brought him in last year and signed him to, or don't cut him. Like, what? He was just a stud for you, and then you cut him loose. You agreed to pay him that a year ago. With this regime, I don't get it. Like, pay him his money because he's doing work for your team, and now you have a hole at nose tackle. You have a hole. They have holes on the defensive line. I mean, this is going to be a group that probably goes to a 4-3, given the fact that Eberflus ran.
Yeah, I think so.
He worked under Marinelli in Dallas, and they, you know, obviously run almost exclusively 4-3. And so, I don't know, man. Hassan Ridgeway's shown nothing. Is he going to be your three technique? Henry Anderson, your three technique? There's just so many holes, man. I mean, they open them up on the defensive line. I don't know who plays inside for this. I mean, you know, those guys are probably going to have to be it. Your one, Al Woods, is your nose tackle. He's aging and honestly not great at all.
Did Sue visit Indianapolis?
No, not Indy.
Wow.
Jabal Sheard is your best pass rusher. Then you have guys like John Simon and, you know, Danico Autry is going to factor in here somewhat on the edge and probably situationally inside, which I'm fine with. They signed him. He's a solid player. I think that he helps them for sure in some capacity, but just not that much as a pass rusher. Does Terrell Basham take this big leap? Because he looked lost most of his rookie season. You need two inside linebackers for sure. Worst inside linebacker group in the league, and Bostic was their best player, and the Steelers just signed him away. So they need two inside linebackers. They need a strong safety. They need another outside corner opposite Quincy Wilson, who's, you know, at least a question mark. I mean, as much as I know we like him. Hooker's a free safety. I mean, strong safety, outside corner, two linebacker spots, one edge pass rusher spot at least, one to two spots on the defensive line, running back, two wide receivers. We'll say
you're
two
basically
wide receivers
just going through the whole roster.
I mean, that's what it is. Like, they didn't do anything in free agency. So I get, like, look, trading back to six is great. Like, it is, because you get two extra second-round picks. That's awesome. You know, those picks are 37 and 49. So you've got 36, 37, and 49, and then I think 67 and then 100, I think. So they have a good amount of picks in the top 100. So they're poising they're setting themselves up well to be able to build through the draft. The draft is hit or miss. You are getting at least some degree of a sure thing, depending on who you sign in free agency. You're getting more of a known commodity in free agency. I like building through the draft completely. I don't like ignoring free agency to the extent that they have. So I just don't think the Colts got better like they could have in free agency. I think losing Hankins, I just don't get it. Like, if you just signed him the deal, what did you think he was going to do? How did he not fulfill and meet your expectations? The cap isn't an issue, so you didn't need to let him go because of that. I don't understand. Like, what changed for your perception of Jonathan Hankins after he was the best player and your defense wasn't even close? So I'm lost. I don't know what's happening yet. Now, having said that, they've set themselves up well. This is a super important draft for Ballard. He's got to hit on these picks because last year, some promising.
That's what he wants
to do.
But I mean, that's what a lot of these teams do. Yeah. A lot of the big name GMs like to pride themselves on obviously getting all their talent through the draft. Sometimes it's foolish. sometimes that kind of a philosophy, it makes them not aggressive enough in free agency or not want to deal with players who are going into their second contract for whatever reason. The teams are letting go. So, yeah, I like Ballard. I think he's smart. Handsome. But, well, that too. Yeah, no, that's not a bad thing. But how much... It's almost as if, like, because is this year three for Ballard?
This is year two. So this is only second draft.
Okay, so I guess that's okay. But, I mean, he's kind of like setting up his team to where right when his contract's going to end or right when they think about firing him, like, that Colts team's going to have to turn around immediately. Like, all these dudes that he drafts, all the coaches that he brought in, like, it's all going to have to click.
He's got to nail these first four picks. He's got to nail them.
Yeah, and I mean, like, really, it has got to turn around quick in year four. Because I wonder what happens this year. Obviously, Andrew Luck, huge question mark. And maybe that's what they're, I don't know. Maybe
that's the thing. Even the one position they hope to have a star at, we don't even know if he's at anymore, sadly. I mean, I hope he is. I freaking love Andrew Luck, but.
We going to talk about the Raiders?
The Raiders. What? Talk to me, my man. What is going on? What is this team doing? I do not understand. They're bringing in Eric Decker for a visit. They signed Jordy Nelson. They got rid of Michael Crabtree. Is Jordy Nelson better than Michael Crabtree? Maybe,
no.
But he's declining.
Well, I mean, no, yeah, I think he is.
But he's declining.
It's always really interesting getting players who used to play with Aaron Rodgers to play with somebody else.
Yeah, interesting as in not a good idea.
And, like, I think that Jordy Nelson is a good wide receiver. I'm not trying to take away anything that he had with Aaron Rodgers. It was a wonderful duo to get to watch over the years. But...
it's just John Gruden trying to get his Gruden grinders, man. Griff Whalen signed. Jordy Nelson signed. He's going to bring in Eric Decker. Got to get those Gruden grinders.
Gruden would sign a guy named Griff.
Isn't that the name of one of his kids?
No, his kid's name is Deuce.
Deuce and Griff. Tell me he's got another kid and his name's Griff.
I don't think he does,
he's
man.
He's adopted Griff Whalen. That's why he signed him.
You know Josh Johnson, the quarterback that I just signed, right?
Yeah. Terrible.
Josh Johnson used to play with Gruden in Tampa Bay. I believe he was a rookie.
No, this is seventh season. Last year. It's been like 10 years for Gruden. This is Josh Johnson's seventh season. He didn't play for Gruden.
All right, now I'm looking it up. You start talking about the Raiders roster.
They signed Doug Martin, muscle hamster, your favorite player in the league, who just seems like his best years are ahead of him. Again, it's like, I don't really understand. Like, not that there hasn't ever been talent with Doug Martin and he's like this horrible player, but I don't understand investing money into a guy like Doug Martin when you have Marshawn Lynch and Jalen Richard. And, you know, if you're going to get a guy to be the guy, how does Martin factor into that? You have your, you know, I just don't know how he complements this group of backs that they have. And I don't know that their wide receiver groups might take a big step forward or anything like that. You know, Tahir Whitehead is bad, and they signed him as
Josh Johnson was drafted in 2008 by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Guess who's head coach then? John Gruden. Suck it. Don't question my Bucs knowledge. Go on.
Well, here's the thing. Was Josh Johnson out of the league then for a couple years? Because he's only been in the league for 7 years, it says here.
He's played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 different NFL teams.
No! 14 different teams?
No, 13. Wait, maybe I have a double. It might be 12. Okay, hold on.
Are you counting the Raiders still?
Yeah. Buccaneers, that's one. 49ers, that's two. Browns, that's three. Bengals, that's four. San Francisco again. Bengals again. Jets, five. Colts, six. Bills, seven. Ravens, eight. Giants, nine. Texans 10, Oakland 11. Okay, 11.
My goodness. And that is insane.
He played for the Sacramento Mountain Lions once too.
Okay,
so
that's why the years are off. Because he says here NFL experience 7 years, but it says he was drafted in 2008. So the dude is about to be 32 in May, and he's played for 11 different NFL teams. That's unbelievable. The tales and the travels of Josh Johnson.
I've never met a man who could finesse the NFL better than Josh Johnson.
He has seen some you know what in his day. Let's put it that way. Because he has been on some horrendous teams. I just want to, you know what we need to do? We need to get Josh Johnson on the show. That dude probably has some stories.
Yeah.
We need to get him on the show.
Wow.
I'm going to try and get him on the show. He's okay. probably got some stories, dude.
I'd interview him.
And he could tell the story from Gruden to Gruden.
At this point
in his career, that's a story.
Well, I mean, we got to wait for him to get 1 year of Gruden under his belt. But what we can do is we can have him on the show.
Like right at the end of training camp. Get that
relationship with him. And then a year from now,
check back
follow back up on him and get from Gruden to Gruden, you know?
11 different teams. I like really want to talk to him. I'm going to try and get him on the show. I'm not even kidding. Josh Johnson. Unbelievable. Anyway, he's bad, and the Bills and the Raiders signed him, so they have him. They have Rashawn Melvin. I actually don't mind the Melvin signing. He was seems like he might be an ascending player. I was surprised the Colts didn't bring him back. Another negative thing about the Colts. Sharice Wright, no thanks. I just don't get it. I guess that's the big thing. What direction are we moving, and what are we building toward? We're signing like a bunch of aging guys, a bunch of guys who haven't really panned out, a bunch of guys that seem like they're on the decline. Those are the wrong types of guys to spend money on in free agency. What direction is this roster moving? Because it seems like they're getting older. I am confused. They lost Autry, who I thought was one player that they should probably try and keep. I don't know. Do not understand. Do not. The Raiders, bad news. All the good news is Amerson and Sean Smith and TJ Carey all gone. So they're turning over a new leaf in the defensive backfield, which is much needed. I do think corner will be a first-round target for them. So I don't know. Those are the teams, I think, to me, that really stood out in a negative capacity so far. I mean, not that other teams haven't done a whole bunch of nothing or haven't done, like, good things per se.
I mean, the Cowboys literally haven't signed a single person, so I guess it's a negative.
Yeah, because they needed them. Yeah, there's an interesting discussion on the timeline
about
the Cowboys,
free Dez.
What they've done, and, yeah, might be a free Dez situation.
Free Dez.
Oh, the Cardinals. What's going on with the Cardinals? I mean, what is happening? Sam Bradford, $20 million. Anybody? Mike Glennon to be your backup? Andre Smith's apparently still in the league.
Anyone? Bueller,
anyone? Justin Pugh is a good signing.
Because here's the thing. Like, you know the Cardinals are still going to be aggressive in signing a quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
So they're about to pay Sam Bradford for $20 million 1 year, pay maybe Mike Glennon for whatever, and still have a rookie. I don't know, man. Yeah, I
stop paying bad quarterbacks lots of money. Stop paying quarterbacks that can't stay healthy lots of money.
Would you rather have Sam Bradford? All right, here we go. Are you ready?
Yep.
Would you rather have Sam Bradford for $15 million a year or Vernon Adams for the league minimum?
Jeez. I would rather have Sam Bradford.
Oh, man, I thought we were going to break you right there. Dang it.
The people would not be ready for that response. Some Dang people it. Are probably listening like, who's Vernon Adams? I don't remember it.
QB1.
Yeah, he was QB1 for some folks that call themselves QB experts a couple years ago in the draft. Look him up. It's a great tale. It's a great tale of failure on the part of many evaluators. Could not be us.
I think Connor Cook was my QB1 that year. So,
sorry. I didn't have any first-round grades.
We're just waiting on it. You got to wait on it.
Yeah.
Gruden's going to take Connor Cook. Does he play for the Raiders still?
Did they cut him? No. Well, Josh Johnson's here now.
Oh, fart.
Yeah. EJ Manuel, he's a free agent. Actually, so Johnson will be QB3, it looks like. Well, he'll probably beat out Connor Cook and be QB2.
I'm moving on up, baby.
Yeah, moving on up. No question there. All right, we got to get off this show. Tomorrow, what did we say we were talking about? Oh, tomorrow we're talking about prospects that we are watching currently that we're studying up and thoughts on those guys. I've got some wide receiver tight ends takes. I've been quiet on the tight end front. Somebody said it to me the other day, like, you guys haven't talked about any tight ends really on the show. I'm like, tomorrow, that All changes, right. my dude. So we're going to drop some knowledge on this tight end class. I've got takes on top of takes. So we'll do that tomorrow and then Fran Friday. And then we're getting real close to announcing a big project we have coming up on the podcast. So we're excited about that too. So until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.